every one of us needs that Kickstarter, whatever it may be. If the Kickstarter is a relationship that we can model ourselves after, it could even be a trauma that happens to us that helps us realize, you know what? I don't want to perpetuate this any longer. I want to stop this cycle. I want to heal my family lineage. I want my children's children to have greater opportunities than what I had. How do I do that?
Hey friends, frenemies, acquaintances, and haters, you too. Welcome to the Rebel Maker Podcast, where I, Marty Stotler, the Rebel Queen, your resident publishing maven, and serial entrepreneur, encourages rebellious behavior and rebellious action in women all across the globe. If you believe like I do, then you're in the right place. One, books change lives. Women totally run the world. Collectively, we have all of the answers. And on a scale from one to you just read my damn mail, not chasing that burning desire deep inside you is equivalent to a warm beer on a hot day. This podcast is a rallying call for high-performing women like you with big vision and a bigger will to lock arms and source all the tools we need to succeed for ourselves, for each other, and for the world at large. So cheers, friend. Here's to shortening the learning curve and chasing down those dreams like our livelihood depends on it, because it kind of does.
Friends, thank you so much for being here again on another episode of The Rebel Maker. And today I have Kate Wilburn with me. And I don't know if Kate actually knows this yet, but she's one of my best friends.
Oh.
Yes. And if you don't know it yet, you are. Girl, I just feel like this like super soul sister connection with you.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm so excited. So let me officially read the bio, because you're a total badass, which totally makes you a perfect fit for the Rebel Maker. I'm like, and this is good. Ready? It's CEO by title, but mama and mentor at heart. Kate's days are a beautiful chaos of business ventures, cuddles with her four incredible boys, and building dreams alongside her husband, Mark. And I'm just going to ad lib this one, because I knew Mark first, and I also love her husband. Amazing family. Sure, I'm knee deep in the entrepreneurial world, but your true passion lies in shaping the futures of families just like ours. Nestled in small town Georgia, you've got hands full running several companies, but nothing compares to the joy of watching your family grow and thrive. Beyond the boardrooms and business deals, your real passion lies in creating a legacy of love and purpose. With an amazing husband, Mark, by your side, with your little boys, keeping you guys on your toes, running in like probably 17 different directions, because I do know that kids are way faster now than when mine were kids.
So true.
Yes. The most rewarding journey is the one where we build something meaningful together. From cozy chats over breakfast to wild adventures in your backyard, every moment is an opportunity to nurture a culture of connection and empowerment. And in your work, you're on a mission to spread that same magic, helping families envision a future filled with purpose and possibility. So, Kate, that's you, CEO by day, mompreneur by night. You're forever addicted and also dedicated to making a difference one family at a time. And listen, that's actually the first time that I read your bio and I'm like, wow, I could cry. It was so well done.
Oh, well, thank you, girl. I really wish I could take credit for it. You want to talk about being a mompreneur and not having enough time and space? That's called delegation to AI. So I'm so sorry that I did not write all of those heartfelt, beautiful
words. No, it was so good.
But I'm learning to use AI so that I'm not spending so much time on smaller tasks, even though a bio is a larger task. But all I right. went to open.ai and I was like, hey, this is what I need you to sound like. And this is what I want you to talk about.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this most amazing tool that I just found. If I didn't already tell you, I don't think I did. I'm going to tell you. And now, beautiful listeners, I'm going to tell you too, because you also need this. Brainbay.io.
Brainbay. Let me write this down now.
Yeah, write that
down. Hold on.
Brainbay.io. It is phenomenal. It is the best marketing and sales AI I have ever come across.
Really?
Yes. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to help you with like your Facebook posts, your Twitters, your LinkedIn.
Oh, I'm down.
It's not Twitter anymore. It's X. Like, it will help you write your landing pages, like your emails. Yes and amen. Okay. So
is it a free service?
No, you do have to pay for it, but it's very nominal. And listen, I loved it so much, like the first day of using it, that I just bought a whole year. And it helps that like I knew the people who developed it. So, and they were pretty
cool. Well, hey, if the book publisher thinks it's good enough, then
yes,
it is enough for me.
Okay, but listen, I do feel like I need to give this disclaimer, right? Because I am not a huge advocate of utilizing AI to write things for you. So I just need to like make sure I put this out there so everybody's super clear where I stand. Just because I think it's plagiarism, right? Like I think that we take AI and I absolutely use AI, but you take that to help spur your creativity and then you make it yours. Full disclosure. Yeah. That's where I stand.
No, I totally agree. You let it create some prompts for you and yes. then you make it your own. I 100% agree. And I'm not all about using it if what you're writing really needs to represent your voice.
Yeah.
Because it's just never going to.
Never.
But I needed to spit out some bios for some landing pages that I was throwing out yes. there.
And listen,
we needed it done in a hurry.
Yes. No, it was so good. I loved it. I loved it. So listen, Kate, I want to start out, I would be remiss if we didn't actually talk about like some of the things that you're doing. And I just want you to talk about that. Talk about what you and Mark are doing together. I really want you to talk a little bit about what you and I are doing together and what you're building and how like your ripple effects are going to be vast and deep. And then we're going to talk about some other things. I'm going to just give the floor to you.
Okay. Well, there are so many things that we're doing. It's so difficult to find a starting point, but I have an idea of what we're going to talk about. So, mm-hmm. so my husband and I own a stock trading education company where we teach people how to trade the stock market for themselves for the purpose of creating generational wealth to empower the legacy of your family, not just to get rich quick, not just to ride up a beautiful ladder so that you can have all the things, but it's for deeper meaning and deeper purpose. And that is mine and my husband's passion. He is the trading guru. He's the one that knows all the things. He's just crazy freaking brilliant in what he knows and does. I do all of the back end work, all the CEO work, all the things. I do that for the capital company. But in the process of running this company with him and raising our kids, I started digging deeper into, hey, our family culture does not currently reflect fully our ideals. What can I do to change that?
All right, wait, I'm going to stop you real quick here, Rose. I just want to make sure I'm picking up what you're throwing down. So as you guys are running this business and you're raising your family, you're realizing that kind of life is lifing and getting to you and some balls were dropping and you guys weren't really instilling some things that you've always known have been just super important. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, pretty much. I tend to frame up in my mind what my golden family looks like or even what the golden mom looks like.
Like we all do.
Absolutely. So I've got this image in this frame that I look at and try to model myself after. That talking about just the golden mom, I have an image of the perfect mother that I want to be.
Yes.
Not that there is a perfect mother, because there never will be, but there is a certain kind of mom I want to be. And so if I'm having an off day, or I'm yelling at my kids, or maybe I disciplined in a way I shouldn't have, or I go to sleep at night totally regretting everything I did that day, I screwed my kids up, they're going to be traumatized, they need therapy because
it's going to be terrible. I messed up my kids for life.
Yeah, we think all those things.
Yes, we do.
And so I'm like, okay, no. Let me compare myself to my golden image of a mom and be like, how can I make myself better? How could I have handled myself better in these situations so that I could be more reflective of the kind of mom I want to be? Same with my golden family over here that I have framed up. Now, I'm not trying to be all idolatrous. The way I frame up the idea of the golden family is based on my personal feelings, ideals, and values according to scripture and what the Lord says about us and about families and his love for us and things like that, how we're supposed to represent ourselves and represent him. And so that's how I frame up this idea of this family. And I started looking around, like you said, and realized we hadn't hit it yet. And I wanted to realize, where are we falling short? What are the weak spots? What's happening? And I just started looking around the Western culture, American culture, really.
Yeah.
And realizing, oh my goodness gracious, we have missed it. We have missed the boat on how to have a completely whole and healthy, non-toxic family culture.
Yes.
You tell me one family love that is non-toxic. You can't, right? Because
yes, we all have our stuff. But listen, I do actually think I know a family, but I only know one. It's just one. It's okay, just
give
one
me their
family.
Phone number. So I'm gonna give you their know what they're number. Doing.
Yes.
I want their secret sauce.
Yes. Yes, I'll give you the secret sauce. I'll give you them, which they'll give you the secret sauce. But I do actually know one family. Just one, though.
That's incredible. That's truly incredible.
Only because I was just lucky enough to be introduced and meet and fall in love with them.
Or maybe God aligned y'all for that reason.
Yeah, I do. And I've said this. I said, you don't know what you don't know.
That's so true.
I didn't know it until it was modeled for me, and specifically this family. Hey, Rebels, I know you've been listening to The Rebel Maker for a hot minute, and you're probably listening for a couple reasons. One, you're thinking about writing a book. Two, you wrote the book and now you don't know what the hell to do with it. Or three, you need help marketing the book that you've already done because you're falling flat on sales. Great. I got just the thing for you. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co. Book a call with me. Here's what's going to happen. One, I'm going to give you an action plan for exactly what you need to do next. Whatever that next step is, writing it, publishing it, marketing it. And also, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask any question that you have. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co. Book a call with me. I think one of the greatest takeaways I've taken from them is just how relationships work. Like healthy, functioning, loving, honoring, respectful relationships work. And I told them, I'm like, you all messed me up. This is your fault because you have raised a bar.
I was about to say, no, they didn't mess you up. They raised your standard.
They raised my standard. Yes. And then when your standard's raised, you expect more.
You do.
From yourself.
And you tolerate less.
Yes. Yes. And they have loved and supported me the entire way.
And see, just by you getting aligned with that family, will have echoes and ripple effects into your children and your grandchildren.
Absolutely.
Just by osmosis, just by relationship.
Absolutely.
And that is what this is all about.
Yeah. And what's actually interesting about this is that it started out like I was the person connected with them. And listen, I've been connected with this family for probably 12 years now. So thinking about this, like it has not just, my girls have not just been affected by my conversations being different because of them, but now like my kids also know them. So like the family has like
infiltrated.
Evolved. Yes, exactly. Yes. Okay.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's truly a beautiful thing.
I think so too.
Every one of us needs that Kickstarter, whatever it may be. If the Kickstarter is a relationship that we can model ourselves after, it could even be a trauma that happens to us that helps us realize, you know what? I don't want to perpetuate this any longer.
I need to pivot.
I want to stop this cycle. I want to heal my family lineage. I want my children's children to have greater opportunities than what I had. How do I do that?
Yeah. Kate, let me ask you this. Did you just say that they were like a fire starter? Like they started a fire? What did you call them? A Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
You're a Kickstarter.
I hope so.
Yes.
I hope I can be that for other people. That's my desire.
So let's talk about your book. Let's talk about like how you've taken this like golden model of yourself and your family. And how has that inspired you to do something about it outside of your family?
The Lord started showing me all of these different blueprints that we model our families after. And I realized that every one of them being presented to me via social media, via whatever media avenues or people around me or whatever, they weren't copacetic with what I was feeling.
Yes.
And I realized, no, I need a new blueprint. I need something new to follow. And so I asked the Lord, show me how to renew the legacy of my generations. How do I take the gold and the beauty that was passed through my generations before me How do I heal the toxic parts? How do I pull out the beautiful parts? And how do I effectively perpetuate those things forward so that they are lasting in impact?
Mm.
Because it is such a travesty in our society today that the model is, hey, we grow up with our mom and dad, or mom or dad. And then by the time we get 18, we go. Hey, yeah. I did my job. Good luck starting your own household. And then it starts over. That is a very disconnected, disjointed family legacy.
Yeah.
When in actuality, I believe we were meant to stay in constant connection. That flow of legacy, that flow of generational magic was never meant to be disrupted.
Yeah.
And that's where so many breakdowns come. That's where a loss of identity comes, a loss of a sense of purpose, a loss of a sense of connection to a higher power, to any type of power around you, however you subscribe. And now we are a culture walking around completely lost, fumbling over our own identities, our own.
Yeah.
Everything is a stumbling block because we can't get out of our own confusion. We can't get out of our own darkness.
No. And listen, I'm really glad, like, this is just perfect because, like, real talk, you're talking, and I'm super excited because we literally just decided 2 days ago that we were going to record this because we started having this fabulous conversation about this season that you and I are both in. This just really super, and for very different, like, reasons, but this just very intense season that we're both in.
Yeah.
And as we were dialoguing about it, I'm like, wow, I don't think this is just us. And I think we need to talk about it. And since our conversation on Tuesday, just a couple of days ago, I've been having these conversations with people, and it really is a much larger thing happening than I think what I even had recognized. And the season is intense. And specifically, what we were talking about was, how do we have such intensity going on around us? How do we handle the things that are really difficult in our lives right now and not stay hyper-focused on those things? And how do we have more gratitude? How do we come up from that for some air to have more gratitude for the things that really are still going fabulously well? Like, how do we balance that both internally within ourselves and then externally with those around us?
What have you come to?
Well, I was going to wait for you to answer that. I just want to know what you were coming to.
Well, all I can share is what I do personally. Yeah. What has helped me so much is to zoom out. I always want to maintain a macro perspective, because when I get stuck in my microcosm of a universe, mm-hmm. which is so infinitesimally small compared to everything going on yes. around, I lose sight of a global perspective. And what I mean by that is, yeah, sure, there's some really hard stuff going on in my extended family right now. It's hard. It's painful. There's a lot of grief. And that overwhelming grief, the overwhelming emotion, tends to want to drown out all of the beautiful things that are happening in our lives, in our business, with our children. We've got awesome things popping off here and there, things that mm-hmm. we've been waiting for years and years. But the pain of the hard stuff is outshining some days the great stuff.
Yeah.
And so not just realizing, yes, sitting in gratitude is an absolute superpower. Gratitude is a superpower in and of itself. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because sitting there thinking, you know what, let me take a step back for a second and be like, thank you, Lord, that this is happening and this is happening. And if there's nothing good happening, I'll sit there and I'll be like, thank you that I have a husband that loves me. Mm-hmm. Thank you that my children are healthy. Thank you that our house payment was made this month. And there are some days, I kid you not, the thing I needed to be thankful for, thank you that I live in a country with semi-clean water.
Yeah.
Thank you that I have an air conditioning system. I went and I found the smallest things to be thankful for, because there's always someone else in a worse situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you do this, like, gratitude thing too, because I also, when I start getting into funks and I just need to remember, I will get up in the morning, like I have an iPhone and it's got this beautiful journal app one there that I didn't even realize when they did an update, they gave me this journal app. It was great. I was going to delete it. I'll write on my like real notebook. Glad I kept it, because one of the things that I do in the mornings when I get up is I find three things every single morning that I am so grateful for. And when you do something like that first thing in the morning, instead of checking text messages, instead of looking at emails, instead of seeing everything that needs to be done, it does totally shift a mindset to start your day.
100%. Scripture says we enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Literally can be translated to we ascend out of a lesser world and a lesser state by being thankful.
Yeah.
It will literally transcend us and change us geographically in an existential way, but it raises our frequency. It raises us into a higher place.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the point I wanted to finish making a second ago about zooming out and getting a macro perspective is I look around and you and I were saying the other day, oh, wow, I'm not the only one going through a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Marty's going through a really hard time. I had conversations with other people going through really difficult times, but facing the dichotomy we were talking about of, wow, over here seems to be dying, but over here seems to be thriving.
Thriving, yes.
Totally thriving. I'm stuck in this dichotomy of emotion. And how do I handle it? And why is this happening? And whenever I am able to zoom out and I see that this effect is happening to so many people, it helps me to realize there's a global effect happening here. There is a ripple effect of frequency, of divine intervention, or you title it what you want to.
I don't know. Mercury retrograde. We've just moved into the age of Aquarius. I have no idea.
I don't even know what stars are where and what alignments are happening. But you cannot deny when there are global effects going on and others around you are battling in the same ways.
Yeah.
And to me, I get extra grateful when I recognize those things because A, I'm not alone.
No.
I'm not going through this by myself. I have others around me that can help support me while I help support them. And B, it gives me hope that there could be divine order moving these pieces. Even though it's painful to move the pieces, maybe they're moving in a direction that's better than they were before.
Yeah.
And so those are always thoughts that keep me in a more positive light, hoping for the future.
So, because I think specifically what you had just said that I really loved about this conversation is that you just reminded me and us that we are definitely not alone. And so frequently, I feel like we get into this mindset and in this space that we're islands. We don't have anyone. There's no one to talk to. How do I get out of this? Because listen, life can get really, really hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it just messes with everything inside of you. Like taking mindset out of the equation, there are some real biological things happening in your body that is just jacking you all up. And then how do you A, pull back enough to recognize that, all right, my entire body is screaming at me right now. And I need to make some choices and be very purposeful in choosing which direction I want to go in and what that looks like.
Absolutely. And I believe that our mindset directly affects our bodies and what's
Absolutely.
Happening. And so for those of us walking around with physical ailments and sicknesses right now, I urge you take a look inward. For example, every single person I know who have had heart issues, heart attacks, defibrillations, aortic dissections, whatever, at some point in their life, they suffered immense heartbreak. Immense trauma. And that is not their fault at all. They couldn't help that. But it is very important that we recognize our souls directly affect the state of our physical body.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, scripture says that you would prosper as your soul prospers. And so it encourages you to like keep a heart check, keep a mind check. I tend to suffer from depression. You know what? Let me reword that. I'm off antidepressants, but I'm predisposed to it. All right. Yeah. It's something that it's just been a thing that I've struggled with. It's whatever. But I recognize when those things start coming up and it gets dark, it gets real bad. It's not just a little bad. It gets a real bad. When I recognize those things coming, I immediately take a gut check and I realize, okay, where did I get off kilter? In my mind, in my thinking, or did something trigger me? Did something happen to me several weeks ago and I didn't release it and I didn't let it go? Where am I harboring this pain, this grief? And I recognize it and I'm able to find it eventually. And once I'm able to release it, that depression will go away. No, it's not an overnight deal.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about like that. What does that act of releasing look like for you? And I love that you're saying this because for me, I have found that, listen, my mind will, I am so dramatic sometimes. My mind will tell me the most craziest of stories. And it's just absolutely insane. Like stupid stuff. Like I'm running and I'm wheezing and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have my inhaler with me because allergies and I never had allergies and I'm on the dock and nobody knows I'm here. And what if I get so dizzy because I can't breathe and I fall off the dock into the water and no one knows I'm going to be here. And that's just going to be the end of Martin. They're going to find me floating in the sound. Like ridiculous things.
That's exhausting.
It's so exhausting. It is so exhausting.
It's real.
But it's real. And my mind goes constantly. Like my mind just goes constantly. So I had to be very purposeful of getting present in my body when my mind is taking me on a trip that I do not want to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I have to move my body. I have to run. I run. And I'm paying attention to how I'm breathing and how my feet are going. And is my core engaged? And I'm smelling. I'm being very purposeful about what's going on inside of me and nature around me. And that is, for me, that's what's pulling me out of those spirals that I'm starting on.
Absolutely. And so really, you realign yourself every time you do that, so that our emotional state or our mental state does not become our governor or our dictator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I personally believe that we were designed with a very specific alignment in mind, because we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And I believe that there is a proper hierarchy of those three. And when one of them gets a little off kilter, then everything just gets discombobulated. And it can be opposite. It cannot be your mind taking you over. It can be your body taking you over. So let's look at it like that for just a second. What if I broke my knee a couple of years ago when we were moving, no less? I had a 7-month-old and I broke my knee and there was a lot of pain there. And I could
actually remember that because I felt so bad for you. I'm like,
thank you.
Oh my God, that is awful.
Thank you. I needed all the pity.
Like you were moving across states.
I was moving across states with a baby.
And you weren't moving from house A to house B. You had to stop off at house A and a half. Yes.
Yeah. It was a nightmare. And so I could have gotten in such a way that I was like, oh, I'm hurting so bad. This pain is just everything. The pain is just too high. I can't handle myself. And the pain could have triggered me into a depressive state.
Yeah.
At that point, then my body is getting my mind out of kilter. And so it can go either way. And this is a totally separate conversation that could be a different podcast about the alignment thing.
Yeah.
Personally, I believe your spirit needs to be leading the charge. Let's get a spiritually healthy. Let's align ourselves with some truth, because there is a truth. There's not your truth, my truth, and his truth next door. Let's align ourselves with some truth. That way our soul and our body can be propped up and bolstered with a plumb line. And we're not just going to and fro because of our circumstances, because we're grounded and anchored in something greater than our circumstances. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let me go back to, because I want to ask you to go back to that whole release thing. Like when you recognize something's going on inside of you, like what does that release look like for you? And listen, I think this stuff is really important to have these conversations on, because in this intense season, when people are just trying to get through life, sometimes it's just, I just got to get through the next 5 minutes.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. And it can be very mentally debilitating for people to move forward in that which they desire when they are so stuck in the circumstances of the day to day.
Yep. This is such an important conversation, Marty. We need to have a million more of these conversations. I think for me, first, I need to assess what it is I'm needing to release, because the manner of the releasing depends on what it is I'm harboring.
Yeah.
And so if I'm harboring unforgiveness towards somebody, if I'm holding somebody hostage in my mind, then they are living rent-free up there, baby.
Mm.
And you know what? It's not bothering them.
No,
it's bothering me.
Forgiveness is for us, not them.
That's 100% right. And it doesn't matter what God you serve, if a God at all, same thing for it's, everybody.
Yeah, but listen, and I get it. It is so hard. It is so hard when you just still want to hang on to being gangster.
That's right. We get in the space like, damn, I was right in that situation.
Yes.
They were wrong. How dare they? And then we start replaying and replaying.
Been
but
there.
You know what? Every time we replay it, it gets a little bit more off tilt and a little bit more skewed, so that by the time we're on down the road, we're not even replaying the right memory. Okay. Mm-hmm. You might not even be talking to the same person in your head at that point, but you have shaped a portion of your identity around something that caused you pain.
Okay, listen, I have to put this out here. I would be remiss if I did not put this out there, because here's the deal. So listen, because I've had these same experiences, I'm a writer, and I just want to talk about how we reframe these stories. And it's called compassionate journaling. And I'm sure anybody can just Google compassionate journaling and they're going to get the 411 on how to do that. But just quick 30 seconds, compassionate journaling is you sit down every single day for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. I don't remember exactly what they say that you need to do. And each time you sit down, you write the exact same story.
Hmm.
So story day one, you're writing the story. This is what happened. This is how I was highly offended by what somebody else did. Day two, you sit down, you write the exact same story.
Without reading the previous day. Okay.
Correct. Okay. What starts happening. It's crazy how this works. Now, because when you're writing a thing over and over again, every day, you have to do it every day. So it's still like kind of fresh. You think of more things, like more details that you didn't think of before. Honestly, I think they call it compassion, because then you start having compassion for how, at least I did in my experience, I had compassion for how the other person may have gotten into the situation that was in. And a couple of things that was really super surprising to me was, like, one, I didn't actually want to feel compassionate towards them,
right?
Keeping it real.
Right. No,
two,
we're mad.
Yeah, I'm mad. I want to be mad.
Right.
Yeah, I was done dirty. I wanted to be mad. But not only was I starting to have compassion for how that might have happened, but I was also feeling sad, because I was starting to understand, like, the mental state or the trauma or the history, or what's the word I'm looking for? The deficiencies in their life.
Yeah.
That built up.
Right.
To bring them to make the choices that they did that hurt people, right? Like, it's just how it rolls. So guys, if you're struggling with that, compassionate journaling, and if you can't find anything, just email me. I'll get it to you.
It's amazing how powerful it is just to come up out of ourselves for a minute. Mm-hmm. We can live, going back to what you were saying earlier, how we all seem to live as an island.
Yeah.
We live in this isolated space, and without meaning to, it becomes a very narcissistic space.
You know what? You're right. And I'm going to throw this out there. I am very cognizant of that. And I am like vulnerability queen. I will throw my shit right out there on Facebook. And I'm like, it's fine. Everything's fine. I'm not the only one.
That's right. That's right. But a narcissistic space becomes very dangerous,
mm-hmm.
because narcissism can creep up very quickly and creates filters for us. So we will start receiving and perceiving information and others around us through the filter of narcissism. Well, this is how this affected me, and this is how that affected me, and everything becomes how it affects me.
Me.
Instead of, how am I affecting them?
Yeah.
What can I do to help them? And if we could flip that script, we would get off our islands.
Yeah.
And it would greatly help us mentally and physically and all of the things. And then it wouldn't be so hard to release others and to release people, because then it's not about us.
And it's honestly not. Like, somebody else's actions, reactions, whatever is never about us. It is never about us.
No, it's about them and what they're going through. And if we can be aware enough and confident enough and comfortable enough in our own skin to recognize, like, all right, you know what? There are people around me that they're going to hurt me.
Yeah.
They're going to hurt my feelings. It's going to happen, not because they don't love me, but because we're human.
Yeah.
And we're interacting with one another. And that's the way it happens. What I can control is how I manage myself when those things happen.
Yeah.
And I've got to credit Danny Silk from Bethel in Redding, California. Mark and I, when we first got married, went through his teachings. And this has set us on a course of such a healthy marriage, because we will walk around and I know my husband's going to piss me off. He's going to make me mad and he is going to break my heart. Not because he means to, but because I've given him my heart. It's out there. I have presented it to him and he is not a perfect man. He's got his own stuff going on. So he's going to break my heart.
Yeah.
I get to choose in those moments how I'm going to manage myself. I can't control him and I can't control the fact that he's going to hurt me. I know pain is coming. And if I know that it's coming, if I know pain is inevitable, why would I not create a plan for myself on what I'm going to do when it happens? Am I going to crumble and be like, oh, woe is me. He completely destroyed me because my feelings are hurt. Chica, your feelings have been hurt before and it didn't destroy you then. This is not the thing that's going to take you out. This is not the thing that we're going to go to your funeral tomorrow.
You've survived every day to this point, every circumstance to this point.
That's right. Girl, I have had 4 babies pass through my vagina. I can handle my feelings being
hurt. You can handle a lot of shit. Yes. Yeah. Yes, ma'am, you can. Okay, but listen, Kate, because I want to get back to the waves that you're making, because every single piece of this conversation has been so good, so meaningful, so deep. And honestly, I feel like, because we're working on your book now and you teach this, like you have a program that you teach all of this. And I'm super excited about your book. And I'm super excited that this, your Kickstarter, you said it earlier, and I'm just going to repeat it back to you. Like you, Kate, are a Kickstarter. And I think your ripple effects are going to like go deep and wide. So I want you to be more specific, because we're like, gosh, we could probably talk for another hour, but we're not going to talk for another hour.
I know.
We're only
going
to talk for a few more minutes. But I want you to talk very specifically about all of this that we're talking about and our personal responsibility and our responsibilities to our families and our communities. Like,
how do I what?
How do you do it? How are you packaging this up? How are you teaching this? How are you walking people through to be the best versions of themselves that they can be, where they're learning how to walk in a healed whole space and that affects their families?
Obviously, that is a 150 part question, but
it is.
In order to condense it all down, I personally believe that our health and identities come from one source. And I believe that it has its own ripple effects through our culture and society. And it goes through a lot of levels and layers before it even hits us. And what I mean by that is, and this will answer your question, I think, I believe that our identity comes from God. And I believe that the manner in which we were even created was for family, for intimacy, for relationship with one another. And then he created our families. And I believe our families are meant to be a reflection of our relationship with him.
Yeah.
Intimacy, relationship, vulnerability, love, all of these things, these connections, right? But over time, as the family unit has fallen apart, we have begun to lose our idea of who we are in our own personal identity. And that has gotten us to a societal place where we're bumping around to figure out who we are. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there is a way for us to return our families to an original design, to an original blueprint, so that our personal identities can become whole again, can become holistic again, absorbing more than just our own needs and our own desires, but involving and inviting other people and other entities and units in with us.
Yeah.
And I do believe that there is, that it can be accomplished. And I believe that with enough families coming into this wholeness, we can completely change and affect societies and cultures around us, and that we can restore wholeness, honestly, to the world, yeah, if everyone subscribed to it. And I know that is a whole, I just want world peace,
that's a tall
type conversation,
order.
And it can't happen in one generation. I don't even know that it can happen in five, because we fell apart over thousands of years.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while to come back together, but it's, somebody's got to kickstart it. Like you said, somebody has to decide. One generation has to make the move to at least try, yeah, to go back, to at least try to pursue healing on some level. Even if that means we get healed from one thing, even if we stop just one generational curse from coming down. Anorexia runs in my bloodline. My mother had it, my grandmother had it, my great-grandmother had it, and so on and so forth. It stops with me. My children,
yeah,
will not suffer from it. That's not a small thing. It's a, yeah, large thing. But it, compared globally, that is a small thing. But I choose to stop that cycle. Everyone can choose which cycles they're going to stop and not perpetuate forward. Is it a hard choice? Yes.
Yes.
Because that means we have to reprogram everything that we were raised around. We have to reframe our thoughts. We have to change our position and how we receive and perceive others. And we have to change maybe even our personality traits, because we grew up around certain personalities. Yeah. And if we don't want to perpetuate certain personalities, we're going to have to fix some toxic behaviors and some toxic mindsets. And so this is a big ship that we're going to try to turn, and it's not going to turn on a dime, but it can turn.
Yeah.
And it can eventually head into a different direction. And I fully believe that it's possible.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to get your book done. But you're already teaching this. You're already teaching this. So listen, I want you to tell everyone how to find you, how to get information about your program, how to stay tuned for the book that's coming out. And listen, talk about NEOS too. Tell us how to find that too.
Marty is working with me and she's helping me out so much. I do have these huge, big ideas, and we're still working out how to get them out to the world. Right now, I do have a website, legacydevelopmentgroup.org. On there are a few freebies for you if you want to read about a couple of things, if you want to download some tools, some free courses, whatever. Jump on there, see how you feel about it. And yeah, if a part of strengthening a family's legacy is its ability to provide for itself and to provide for others around them. And that is our NEOS Capital Development Group. That is what we do. We help people learn how to trade for themselves. And so if you're interested in that at all, neoscdg.com. You can go check us out. If you've got any questions, you can reach me, support@neoscdg.com. I will be more than happy. I personally respond to all of my emails. I don't have a big staff or a bot or anything like that. We personally get back to you. So yeah, that's what we're working on right now.
That
big dreams.
So freaking awesome. I love the dream chasers. Okay, friends, thank you so much. If you have found value in any piece of this, would you just please share it with a friend, share it with someone who you think needs to be encouraged? And also, as always, I would love for you to leave an honest review, because it helps other people find the podcast that's best for them.
Perfect.
Friend, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Rebel Maker, where I not only support, but also encourage rebellious behavior, rebellious action, and doing the thing that no one thought you could do. Hell yes to you. If you're digging what you're hearing, finding inspiration, and actionable items for your next step, then please do all the things. Subscribe, share me with your besties, and send me a message. I'd love to chat. Cheers to your success.